DZUP Special Features.
Magandang umaga mga kasali. Ito ang DZUP Special Features. Ako po si Gian Librojo. Hatid namin sa programang ito ang mga recording ng mga academic event tulad ng lecture, forum, symposium, conference at workshop. Minsan, oras din ito para sa iba pang mga espesyal na pagpoprograma. Bilang bahagi ng ating nagpapatuloy na pagdidiskusyon sa State of the Nation Address o SONA, balikan nating muli ang ilan sa mga idinaos na pre-SONA forum na inorganisa ng mga sectoral group. Sa umagang ito, pakinggan po natin ang State of the Philippine Environment Forum 2019 na inorganisa ng Center for Environmental Concerns kasama ang Ateneo Environmental Science Society, Kalikasan People's Network for the Environment, at ng Ateneo Development Studies Program. Pakinggan natin.
I will now go, so these are the four black issues I want to talk about, then very, very briefly, some of the other issues that I would talk about. Deforestation, still a very big part of our problem in the country, a bit better than it used to be, particularly because we have been able to establish a network of protected areas, critical watershed areas, community-based forest management projects that we have done. We need to do better, obviously, because we're spending a lot of money with the National Greening Program, and I'd like them to be more accountable for that. It took us a while to get to where we are with forestry, but I would say we're better off in forestry than we were 30 or 40 years ago. With respect to the next one, water shortage, here the Kaliwa Dam is an important one. I mean, we do have to recognize we have a problem of where the water will come from. That is not just a Metro Manila problem, that's actually a nationwide problem. Because we haven't put up the infrastructure and the governance mechanism to conserve and utilize our water resources properly. But we do have options, I mean, including in Metro Manila. Again, we'll have a Kaliwa Dam talk, so I will not go too much over that, except that those of you who have seen my writing on this, I oppose completely the Kaliwa Dam for biodiversity reasons, for safety reasons, for sovereignty reasons as well, but I'll weigh in later when we have the next speaker on that. Boracay, I think a State of Environment talk should always include something about Boracay. I'm still not going to judge how successful the Boracay experience has been. The template of sort of closure is unique to an island like that. I don't think they can do that in many other places like Baguio, etc. And I'm not sure that the cost, the human cost, to the people, especially the workers. And here's where it's very important for all of us who care about the environment. We can push strongly for solutions, but our solutions must always be fair and just, especially to the people who are going to be affected by the solutions. And I think the government was very unfair for the people that required, whose livelihoods were affected in Boracay. I don't know, there were floods in Boracay over the weekend, probably because of all the infrastructure that they are trying to build there. But I'm willing to see what the answer is, because the people have been criticizing the government over that. Metro Manila Bay is another one of those challenges, very big promises that we can swim in Manila Bay by December or January. I would not make that promise. I do know Manila Bay. I mean, I was actually in the Supreme Court Advisory Committee in 2008 for several years, and the problems are enormous. I mean, I think there's some hope with someone like Mayor Isko Moreno leading that effort, but I don't also know. And the key for Manila Bay is environmental justice. And not just for informal settlers and making sure the informal settlers are taken care of, but everyone, including the workers that will be affected. Key also are very strong decisions about reclamation, that you cannot have any form of reclamation in a place like Manila Bay. If reclamation becomes serious already in Manila Bay, more reclamations, we already have that now. then I'll make that reclamation a black issue, because it is an existential thing. Reclamation in Manila Bay, if it becomes a serious option, becomes an existential thing for the all of Metro Manila and for all the Manila Bay region, that you will actually end up with a big disaster in all of this region. Industries continues to be a big problem for us in Metro Manila. It's the mobile sources, which is traffic and cars. I mean, dealing with our rivers is a challenge. But actually, we have many examples all over the world of dead rivers being revived. No? As long as they are not existential threats, like what happens with mining, because mining can destroy a whole river, very difficult to revive after that. But we have examples of rivers being revived all over the world. Bulacan is one of those places, if you live in Bulacan, which is actually one of the world's top 10 most populated places, that whole system, that's agro-ecosystems, poultry, piggery, and small industries that are all being thrown into that river system. This is very hard to imagine, but you have to have local governments, for example, say no to poultry, say no to piggeries at some point, because if you don't do that, you will end up with a quality of air and a quality of water that will affect everyone else negatively. Waste, to say a word, I think is the last problem I will deal with and I'll go to the conclusion. We all hear about this. Why is single-use plastic such a big thing, aside from a very successful campaign about it? Very simple, because it's actually the most solvable of all our problems. It's actually the easiest to solve, diba? Some people say, we're wasting so much time. Actually, no. Anything that can solve a problem is a good thing, because we can transfer our experience in that problem to other problems. No? We've seen that again and again in single-use plastic. When organizations, schools, local governments ban it, diba? Very quickly people are able to adjust. So actually, we're very near a global ban on single-use plastic, very near. Only the U.S. is opposing such a ban. I mean, and I think at some point, they too will have to deal with it. Many of the states already of the U.S. and the local governments of the U.S. already for that. And there's practical ways of dealing with that. That's why I support that. But we must not forget, that driving all of this is the fact that solutions are possible and quickly possible. And that's what we actually have to do with the other challenges that we have, particularly the black issues that we have. No? Waste importation, we saw that with the Canadian thing, we nearly went to war with that, if the threat is to be believed. It still continues, the import still continues. So vigilance is very, very important to stop that from happening. And here I have to say something, speaking truth to power. I mean, the reason why we have a waste problem, the reason also why we have, is the same reason why we have a West Philippine Sea problem, same reason also why we have a mining problem, is that we have, diba, Kapwa Filipino, we have fellow Filipinos who are complicit in this. They actually make money because of this. Diba? Never mind that everyone else will do it, but they make money because of this. They benefit from this. I mean, and so let's not forget that. Let's not forget that the reason why climate change is very difficult to solve climate change, even when the science became clearer and clearer, is that people and companies who benefit from the status quo that leads to climate change, those people have funded disinformation campaigns, allegedly scientific also, but clearly based on political and economic interests, have funded that. No? So don't ever think na kaya pala dumating ang waste because of the Canadians. No, there were Filipinos who were looking for this business and asked them to come here with that. No, I mean, and with all of these problems, you have that kind of situation. So let me end. And I'll end with Pope Francis, I mean, Laudato Si, both as a religious as well as a secular document. I mean, in that encyclical, the Pope never separates environment and poverty. never separates environment, nature, and people. Never separates development from justice. Sustainability from justice. No? Advertisement lang. I finished a book. There's Attorney Joy Reyes also helped me with that book. I finished the latest version of my textbook on Philippine law and ecology, and hopefully UP will come out with it in a couple of months for my classes. But we upgraded it, and all the information I'm giving you is the update, based on the update that we did that. But you know, Dato C, this beautiful phrase, or very powerful phrase from Pope Francis, the earth herself, burdened and laid waste, is among the most abandoned and maltreated of our poor. That's the only way to understand it. Diba? The earth and the poor, that's what we do with it. And that's why we're faced with what we have. The deterioration of the environment and of society affects the most vulnerable people on the earth. No? That it's always struck me in climate change, you know, that when I study that and then work on it, on that issue, that the people most affected by it, both countries and people in countries, importante yan, because there are people in the United States that are more affected by climate change than some people in the Philippines who are very rich, who can just move whenever there's a problem. Yeah? While there are people in New Orleans, in Texas even, that live in the poorest neighborhoods, neighborhoods of color, that have no options, similar to the poor people in Tacloban or in Tuguegarao that have to suffer, while their rich neighbors have other options to go to. No? It's always bothered me that the poorest people, the poorest countries, and the poorest people in the world suffer the most and suffer first on climate change when they have contributed the least to the problem. Because climate change, in the end, is the environmental footprint that you have as individuals, as families, as countries, that produces the emissions that then lead to climate change. I want to talk about that for a minute, climate and environmental justice. I mean, and I want to talk particularly about the LUMAD, representing indigenous peoples of the Philippines and indigenous peoples of the world, because they're at the forefront of climate change. They're the forefront of mining. They're the forefront of the biodiversity crisis. In the Philippines, as far as I'm concerned, they're hindi naman sila forefront sa West Philippines. Si fishermen naman natin. But poor people also are the forefront of all of this. I mean, and let's be no doubt about it, huh? The closure of the schools of the LUMAD, the killings of LUMAD leaders, that's not about the NPA or communists, etc. That's about control of resources. That's about driving them out. I've worked with indigenous peoples for 35 years, and I know that. They're being driven out so that mining companies, in the past, logging companies, energy companies, are able to come in and take over those resources. Let's be very, very clear about that. And that's why I have an article coming out with Attorney Joy in Mindanao News, also posing strongly the closure of the LUMAD schools. And that's linked to environmental justice. That's linked to climate justice. Because who are our first defenders? Diba? In nature, our first defenders are the LUMAD, the indigenous peoples in Kaliwa, in the Cordilleras, in Mindoro. They are our first defenders. And if they fall, we'll be next, because then a deluge of other environmental problems will happen because of...
Magbabalik ang DZUP Special Features makalipas ang ilang paalala. Huwag ninyong kalilimutang ilike ang aming Facebook pages at DZUP Specials at DZUP 1602 AM. Maririn kayong magpadala ng sulatroniko sa dzup.marketing@gmail.com. I-textin nyo kami sa 0927-220-8332 o di kaya itawagin sa 503-8288. Ang DZUP ay kasapi ng KBP, kapisanan ng mga broadcaster ng Pilipinas. Sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka! Halika na't makinig sa DZUP 1602.
Nais niyo bang dalhin ang kalikasan sa siyudad?
Bakit hindi na
ating subukan.
Inihahatid ng DZUP 1602 ang isang programang magpapalapit sa inyo sa kalikasan.
Nature Venture!
Isang oras ng paghatid sa inyo ng mga kwento at kaalaman tungkol sa kalikasan.
Makinig na para sa environment-friendly at nature-loving na pamumuhay.
Nature Venture!
Tuwing Lunes, alauna hanggang alas dos ng hapon, dito lang sa DZUP 1602.
Kasali ka!
Mag-ulat, magsulat at magmulat. Hatid ng Union of Journalists of the Philippines, UP, ang Journalism Summit 2.0. Isang campus journalism workshop sa August 31, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. sa Magis Academy, Cainta, Rizal. Matuto sa iba't ibang pamamaraan ng news writing, feature writing, editorial, sports news at photojournalism. Bukas ito para sa mga junior at senior high school students na interesadong mag-aral ng journalism at maging tunay na alagad ng media. Para sa ibang detalye, contact si Abby Boyzer sa 0905-240-5380 o pumunta sa UJP UP Diliman Facebook page. Ang Journalism Summit 2.0 ay hatid sa inyo ng Union of Journalists of the Philippines, UP, sa pakikipagtulungan sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka! DZUP at 60, ituloy ang kwento.
Anak, gumamit ka ng baso kapag nagsisipilyo, ha? Sayang ang tubig!
Ang dami-dami kayang tubig!
Anak, huwag mong kakalimutang hugutin ng saksakan.
Ma, hindi masusunog ang bahay. Huwag OA. Ma? Ma? Nasusunog ang bahay! Tulong!
Huwag antaying mapahamak ang buhay bago matutong magtipid sa pagkonsumo ng enerhiya at tubig. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka.
DZUP Special Features.
Nagbabalik po ang DZUP Special Features. Ipagpatuloy natin ang pakikinig sa State of the Philippine Environment Forum 2019 na inorganisa ng Center for Environmental Concerns kasama ang Ateneo Environmental Science Society, Kalikasan People's Network for the Environment at ng Ateneo Development Studies Program.
In a positive note, yesterday, just one thing about cities, no? Because you're all in cities, we're all in cities, most of us at least. Cities are a challenge. All that I want to say though, cities, all our problems in cities are solvable. But again, very important to have a just transition for that, for the poor. You don't solve your problems with the cities by sacrificing the poor, no? Relocating them, evicting them, not providing transportation options for them, like not allowing ANCAS, for example, is a good example, is an illustration of that. We have many examples of cities being able to redevelop itself. Okay, my final slides are actually from yesterday. The Catholic Bishop Conference of the Philippines came out with a very strong letter on ecology, and I'd like to quote from that, including its recommendations, because they're very powerful, very direct recommendations that I think all of us can think about as individuals and as institutions. First, they say we are connected to the earth just as our lives and the life of all other beings are interconnected with each other. We hear both the cry of the earth and the cry of the poor. We are to respond and act together in order to mitigate the ill effects of climate change on our planet and our communities. And the spirit of accountability, we demand climate justice. By the way, the bishops for the first time used the word climate emergency. That's also what I use now, and including in Manila Observatory, I told my scientist colleagues that are they comfortable with using that word, climate emergency. But we know that it's urgent, and we know that we have to act. Then the CBCP gives us several recommendations to think about. No? Of course, in education, in teaching, we integrate creation, stewardship. As individuals and families, to live simply, minimize consumption, promote ecological awareness and action, prevent and reduce biodiversity loss to conservation projects or programs. As I said, even in cities, I mean, in Ateneo, we know with a big fight over our mini forest here, hopefully that's a permanent win and we don't. My position is not to cut any single tree anywhere. Actually, that's my position in any place. You have to tell the developers, you have to tell the architects, you cannot cut a tree. Only for health reasons you cut the tree, right? I mean, say it's dying already, it has no value anymore, right? We can do that, but otherwise, everyone should design around trees everywhere. Promote diversified and sustainable agriculture. That's a clear imperative. Participate in efforts to protect and preserve our seas, oceans, and fishery resources. Later on, I would add protect the West Philippine Sea in particular. Protect our watersheds using water wisely. This is very important. Push for an immediate transition to safe, clean, and affordable energy. It's a travesty to me that the DNR, as reported, has approved a coal power plant in Palawan. You cannot have, by the way, I mean, in theory also, you can have a relatively pollution mitigation can be mitigated in a coal power plant, but only in very big ones, because they're very expensive to mitigate. A 15 megawatt coal power plant is going to be dirty. There's no way it can be built in a clean way. And I hope the DNR took that into account. Well, obviously they did not take that into account if they approved this one. But my position is no more building of any coal power plants, and to work for the transition so that in 10 years we don't have any more coal power plants. 5 years is probably very difficult to do. Certainly you're going to do it in 1 or 2 years. But you can stop building any new one, and you can decommission everything in 10 years. That's doable. That's doable, and you can find the resources for that. That's economical and technologically possible. I like this from the church, and I hope Ateneo will listen, if assuming they are not following this. Divestment from investment portfolios such as coal-fired power plants, mining companies, and other destructive extractive projects are encouraged. There's a big fight in Harvard University over this because Harvard still refuses, one of the few, one institution that's refusing to do that divestment, having a separation from its finance, from its values, which I think doesn't make sense. Integrate Laudato Si in the curriculum and strategic plans for this for Catholic education. I actually teach a course on Laudato Si in San Beda for lawyers and priests. Organize and educate people into well-informed and empowered citizens. That's something we always think is good. Network with international bodies to create a groundswell of worldwide pressure powerful enough to convince multinational institutions to lower emissions and engage in environmental actions for the protection of our commonwealth. Yung Oceana Gold, napansin ko, malaki yung international aspect sa campaign, which is very, very good. Respect, that's important. I think that I'm glad that the bishops called for that. Respect, recognize, and support the right of indigenous peoples, the rights of indigenous peoples. There's a mention also of disaster risk reduction and management. Those is the CBCP recommendations. For some reason, hindi nabanggit yung West Philippine Sea, so ako nalang magdagdag. Be steadfast in defending our resources in the West Philippine Sea. Otherwise, comprehensive yung call of actions ng bishops. So clearly, well-informed sila. Nag-aral sila ng mabuti before they issued this letter. My last message is especially for the young people here. Young is ala kabataan party list, of which I am an advisor, below 30. But actually, kasama na rin tayo lahat kasi even above 30, di ba? Yung the most important value to integrate in yourself in environmental matters and ecology, di ba? Is the issue is justice, di ba? Justice today and justice in the future. That's why the phrase intergenerational equity is very important. Intergenerational solidarity, as Pope Francis again says, is not optional but rather a basic question of justice, since the world we have received also belongs to those who will follow us. So in my talks, because this is the first time I'm doing it, but I have 10 talks already lined up using the same frame. So thank you for CEC for forcing me to do this properly, because I know this is a big audience. In my talk, mainly to schools, shooting myself because I'm a teacher and I want my students to come to my class, I call for our Filipino students to join the climate strike movement in a very, very big way. I tell the story of myself. I've worked on this issue for many, many years, diba? And almost always on the progressive side, I'd like to say 95%, sometimes not. I had a government stint, and even in the government stint, most of the time, I was able to be true to communities, to environmental values. But the truth is, as you grow older, as you experience more power, link with more people, diba? It's harder to speak truth to power. It's harder to speak the truth. There are always costs for saying that. I mean, I have friends who are senators. I have friends who are secretaries of environment. I have friends in international bodies. And they and me have a stake in the system. That's the reality, di ba? The younger people, the young people, you don't have that type of stake yet, di ba? And I wish you don't have to work to have that same stake as we do. So for me, it's very, very important that, because this is your world, and this is the world we will move to you, and we have failed to do it properly, and the threat is now existential. I really, really think that it's time to confront the power, the decision makers, the economic and political decision makers, to do the right thing. Because if we don't do the right thing, the consequences is extinction. So the climate strike movement all over the world is also called an extinction strike movement, because it's about people, young people, who refuse to be extinct. Thank you, Paul.
Maraming salamat, Sir Tony. We are delighted that was such a great keynote speech. It's like attending a whole class, and we learned so much. Without further delay again, our next speaker is currently the Research and Advocacy Program Coordinator of the CEC. She graduated from the UP College of Social Work and Community Development and is currently taking up an MS in Environmental Science at the UP Open University. May we please call onto the floor Ms. Leah Alonso.
Good afternoon. So again, I'd like to introduce the State of the Philippine Environment Forum. This is our annual activity. We do this in different universities. So this year, Ateneo hosted us. So last year, sa Philippine Normal University kami. So aside from this, the Center for Environmental Concerns as a research institution also does different kind of researches like environmental investigative missions, policy research, and hopefully this lead to different kinds of action such as the drafting of different bills like the one that we have now in the Congress, actually in the 17th Congress, the People's Mining Bill. So aside from that, CEC also engages in different networks locally and internationally, since we also represent the UN Environment Program as the civil society representative for Asia and Pacific. So aside from that, we also have just organized we have just formed the Asia Pacific Network for Environmental Defenders last year. My part in this forum is to discuss the state of Philippine ecosystems. Dito, don't expect that I'll be discussing in depth all the issues that happened this year. So ito lang yung parang silip sa lahat na nangyari in the past year, so 2018 up to now. This will be the outline of my presentation. First, I'll be presenting the state of ecosystems. So like what Dr. Lavinia said a while ago, from the green to the blue to the brown. So the next part of my presentation is the environment and crisis, and last is the people's response. So for the state of ecosystems, we'll be doing this from the ridge to the reef, from the forest down to the marine ecosystem.
Magbabalik ang DZUP Special Features makalipas ang ilang paalala. Huwag ninyong kalilimutang ilike ang aming Facebook pages at DZUP Specials at DZUP 1602 AM. Maririn kayong magpadala ng sulatroniko sa dzup.marketing@gmail.com. I-text nyo kami sa 0927-220-8332 o di kaya itawagin sa 503-8288. Ang DZUP ay kasapi ng KBP, kapisanan ng mga broadcaster ng Pilipinas. Sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka!
Halika na pakinig sa DZUP 1602.
Halina't kilalanin ang kahalagahan ng wika sa ating mga buhay. Dito sa Ang Wika ng Ina Mo, tuwing Biyernes sa ganap na alas 6 hanggang alas 7 ng gabi. Dito lang sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Wika ng Ina Mo, tanda na magkapatid tayo, wika. ng ina mo mag-uugnay sa Pilipino. Wika ng ina mo sa laming ng pagkatao. Wika ng ina mo magtatakda kung saan tayo patungo. Wika ng ina mo.
Dami-dami kong kailangan gawin. Maraming examen sa school. Marami rin trabaho para sa mga organizations ko. Halos tatlong araw na rin akong walang tulog. Hindi ko alam kung may oras pa akong kumain o uminom man lang ng tubig. Pagod na ako. Di ko na alam kung paano pa ako tutuloy.
Ang sariling kalusugan ay ang puhunan para sa kinabukasan. Huwag kalimutang kumain, uminom ng tubig, at matulog ng sapat sa isang araw. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka.
You are so annoying. You have no friends. Nobody likes you. You're so ugly. You're stupid. Yuck. You're gross and fat. Where do you even get the confidence? I hope you guys are nothing special.
Do everyone a favor and shut up.
Hateful words will hurt, even if said behind anonymity. Being anonymous doesn't give you the right to cyberbully. Haters, stop the hate.
A public service reminder from DZUP 1602. Kasali ka.
Hindi ka ba napapagod o di kaya'y nagsasawa?
Sa ating mga tampuhang walang hanggang katapusan, napahid ng mga luha, damdamin at puso'y tigang.
Alam mo pala yung kantang yan?
Siyempre naman, ma.
Naku, eh panahon pa namin yan eh. Gusto mo, pakita kong mga tape niyan?
Ayos, mag-soundtrip tayo, ma.
Oh, sige!
Eto na! Eto na! Eto na!
Walang kupas ang ganda ng musikang Pinoy. Patuloy natin tangkilikin ang sariling atin. Suportahan natin ang musikang Pinoy. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Save the environment!
Yan ang madalas nilang sabihin. Pero paano ba yung gagawin?
Tanim ka ng mga puno hanggang matapunan lahat ng mga bundok.
Mag-imbento ka ng renewable fuel. Ipatigil mo ang mining at logging sa buong mundo. Do!
Hindi kailangang bongga. Start small. Unplug. Tanggalin sa saksakan ang mga gadgets o appliances na hindi ginagamit. Ang matipid na paggamit ng kuryente ay pagtulong sa kalikasan.
Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Ano ang pagkakatulad ni na Albert Einstein, Walt Disney, Vincent Van Gogh at Michael Phelps? Lahat sila ay may Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder o ADHD.
Ang ADHD ay isang kondisyon na may sintomas ng kahinaan sa konsentrasyon, pagiging sobrang aktibo at pagkilos ng padalos-dalos. Tulungan ang batang may ADHD na abutin ang kanyang potensyal. Kumonsulta sa doktor para sa tamang diagnosis at pangangalaga.
Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka.
Ako si Pollution. Sikat ako sa syudad. Tulad ng mga kotse na bumubo ng 30% ng aking mga alagad. Basura, basura, puso, 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 ingay, ingay.
Huwag maging alagad ng polusyon. Tangkilikin ang pampublikong transportasyon. Nakatipid ka na, bawas polusyon pa.
Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Guys, lasing na tayo. Kaya niyo pa ba magmaneho?
Oo, kaya ko pa. Real man to.
Kaya pa yan. May inuman pa daw.
Uy, teka. Naka-red light na yata, oh.
Anong red light, lion!
Pre! Pre, red light nga! May tumatawid! May tumatawid! Ah!
Talagang malakas ang tama kapag nakainom. Ngunit huwag hintayin iba naman ang tamaan mo. Kung nakainom, huwag nang magmaneho dahil hindi masaya kung madidisgrasya ka at ang iba. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka!
DZUP Special Features.
Nagbabalik po ang DZUP Special Features. Ipagpatuloy natin ang pakikinig sa State of the Philippine Environment Forum 2019 na inorganisa ng Center for Environmental Concerns kasama ang Ateneo Environmental Science Society, Kalikasan People's Network for the Environment, at ng Ateneo Development Studies Program.
So first is the forest ecosystem. So aside from being an important carbon sink, being a source of timber, of rubber, of medicines, limiting soil erosion, and regulating water, actually the forest is an important habitat, not only for plants and animals, but also for humans. As what was mentioned earlier, there are many people living in the forest lands, such as indigenous people. So this can be seen in the total employed persons. It also comprises of 23.6% that works in agriculture, forestry, and hunting subsector. Ang gusto natin i-present dito, hindi natin mahihiwalay yung mga tao sa loob ng forests. We cannot take them out of the forest. They are the original stewards. So yung katulad na nabanggit kanina, yung indigenous people, it's not a matter of just relocating them because it's important to their culture as their ancestral domain. But in recent years, we have seen a great decline in the forest recovery of our country. The level, which is said to be the ideal forest cover, so that's 54%. But now, we are just up to 23% of the total land area. This means that the forest cannot fully function like hydrological functions in different ecosystem services. Kasi napakaliit na lang ng forest cover niya. During the 1970s, where large forest logging concessions were given during the Marcos era. The first thing that comes to our mind when we talk about deforestation is illegal logging or kaingin. But actually, there is such a thing called like legal logging because there are actually permits that allow deforestation. So if we total all the permits related to logging, it covers 9% of the total land area. So this covers different kinds of permits. And most of the timber that we produce or other forest-based products are also exported. So not all of them are used in the Philippines. This year, we have just approved the expanded National Greening Program. But if we see the accomplishments of the previous reforestation program, the NGP, we can see that the Integrated Forest Management Agreement, or a kind of logging permit, is greater than the reforestation efforts. This means that we cut more trees than we reforest. We can see that a lot of the forest is still lost because this is just one kind of agreement. So there are still other agreements that allow tree cutting. So another activity that causes deforestation is mining, as mentioned earlier, in the areas that we call the last frontiers or yung last remaining forests. At nandiyan pa ang mining operations. There are 488 approved mining permits and 700,102 hectares. So parang pag nakita natin 705,000 hectares, gaano kalaki ba yan? Malaki yan. It covers parang maraming probinsya sa buong Pilipinas. So one of the, we can say, worst agreements in mining is the Financial Technical Assistance Agreement. So now we are opposing charter change because we don't want 100% foreign ownership. Pero actually, noong 1995 pa, allowed na ang 100% foreign ownership sa mining. So yung pinag-uusapan natin kanina na Oceana Gold Philippines na mining corporation actually is FTAA number one. It is the first FTAA in the Philippines. And it supposedly ended its contract in June 20. Pero yung susunod sa kwento nun, mamaya na lang, dun sa susunod ng mga speakers. So yung FTAAs in the Philippines cover 95,000 plus hectares located in Nueva Vizcaya. Para na siyang baliktad na mountain. So they're saying that there are ways to rehabilitate this, but it's hard to imagine how you can actually restore it to its natural or its original state. So usually the justification for mining operations is its economic benefits. But we have compared the agriculture, hunting, and forestry sector, which is also a land-based industry, to mining and quarrying. Napakaliit lang ng contribution niya kung i-compare mo sa agriculture. 1.99% lang ang contribution ng mining sa gross domestic product. And if we look at its contribution to employment, it's 0.05% lang ng contribution niya sa employment. So, ang sinasabi kasi, parang pinaglalaban nila yung miners tsaka yung mga nagsasabing dapat wag nang mag-mine kasi mawawalan sila ng trabaho. Pero in the first place, kaya sila napunta sa mining kasi nasira na rin yung kanilang livelihood. So, yan, kung makita natin, gano'n nga ba talaga kalaki yung contribution ng mining compared sa nasisira niya. So, yung isa sa controversial issues in the previous years was the closure and suspension of former DNR Secretary Gina Lopez. According to her audit, 23 mining companies were ordered to be closed and 5 were ordered to be suspended. Pero anong nangyari? Nung nagkaroon ng Mining Industry Council review or MICC review, karamihan dun sa mga closed dapat or was downgraded to suspension, 13 was pending, 1 pa ay reinstated, but only 4 closures were upheld. Meaning, maganda na sana yung first act ni Gina Lopez na ma-hold accountable yung mga mining companies. Pero sa ngayon, ganito lang yung mga companies na nag-maintain yung kanilang order. So, sa ngayon, hindi pa lahat ng mining companies ay nare-review. Magkakaroon pa lang ng MICC review ulit in the coming months. So, yung next natin, from the forest ecosystems to the agricultural ecosystems. So, usually, hindi natin naisip na ecosystem rin yung agriculture. Pero, syempre, it's still a relationship of biotic and abiotic factors. So, it's still considered as an ecosystem. Despite the fact that we have a large, vast tracts of land allotted for agriculture, 9 out of 10 farmers are landless. So what does that mean? Sabihin yung mga farmers natin, they're actually renting the land that they are tilling. So a huge part of their income go to land rent, imbis na napunta sa kanila for their own efforts in farming. So this means that less income for their families, and income for those that own the land but never participated in the actual tilling of the land. Their situation is further worsened by natural calamities. For example, El Nino, it can actually be predicted. But in April 2019, the damages caused by the droughts reached $95 million. It affected 164,672 farmers. At yung situation ay napakalala, kaya 26 LGUs declared a state of calamity. So, ang tanong natin, di ba ang El Nino naman, kung kaya natin ma-predict, bakit hindi pa nagawa ng mga mechanisms para tulungan yung farmers? Kasi they are saying now that if this warning was given earlier, they wouldn't have planted for this cropping season. So, dapat nagkaroon na lang sila ng ibang livelihood na tutulungan din sila doon para hindi na nasayang yung effort nila at yung gastos nila. Kasi sa ngayon, malubog pa sila sa utang. At paano pa yung gastos nila for the next cropping season. So supposedly naman, yung mga ganitong cases ay pwede naman sanang ma-handle kung ginawan lang ng paraan. Kaya hindi nakakapagtaka na napakataas ng poverty rate ng farmers. Actually, nagpapalit lang sila ng fisherfolk dun sa highest poverty incidents. So sila, yung mga nag-work dun sa ating land, sa fertile lands at rich seas, pero they remain as the poorest sectors consistently through the years. Kasi katulad nga na nabanggit natin, may existing problems such as landlessness that is worsened by the conditions like typhoons, droughts, and other weather conditions that are further worsened by climate change. So down to freshwater ecosystems, 61% of agricultural lands are irrigated. But if we think about it, since bago pa yung panahon ng Kastila, nagsasaka na tayo, pero hanggang sa ngayon, ganito pa rin lang yung land na kayang i-irrigate. Kapag mababa yung irrigation, this means that the farmers cannot plant every cropping season. So if you have irrigation, you can plant 3 times a year ng palay. Pero if you don't have irrigation, you can only just plant once during the rainy season. So yung labas pa sa mababang access sa irrigation, mababa rin ang access natin sa water sources. This means that water na clean and readily available, yung malapit lang sa atin at makukuha natin agad. 1 out of 10 people, only 1 out of 10 people have access to clean and potable water. Kaya feeling ko na marami sa atin yung nakaramdam ng water shortage sa Metro Manila. Naranasan niyo ba yun? Mahinang-mahinang tubig, di makakapasok sa school kasi nag-iigib bayan. Marami sa atin sa Metro Manila naka-experience nito. Dahil ang sinisisi dito ay yung pagbaba ng water level sa Angat Dam. But even the Chief Executive Operating Officer ng Manila Water sinasabi na it's not really about the water level in Angat Dam. It's a problem of supply and demand. Because actually, Manila Water took in more customers than they can accommodate. So parang 40% lang ng water in Angat Dam is allocated for Manila Water. Kaya pag bumababa yung water level, nahihirapan sila. So ibig lang sabihin, parang akala natin dati na kapag private ang service ng public utilities, maganda yung service. Pero kahit na privatized na yung water, inuuna pa rin nila yung pag-take-in ng maraming customer kahit na hindi na yun kasha dun sa capacity nila. Lack of access sa fresh water. So ano yung naisip nila na solution? Para daw maibsan yung water crisis, itayo daw natin yung Kaliwa Dam. So yung Kaliwa Dam, isa lang siya sa napakaraming dam projects in the Philippines. And if we look at the infographic of Iban Foundation, all of these are foreign funded. Most of it except for Balog-Balog. If we ask, why can't we build more dams? Kasi ang dams naman ay a source of renewable energy. Pero at the same time, we should think about what are their other impacts.
Magbabalik ang DZUP Special Features makalipas ang ilang paalala. Huwag ninyong kalilimutang ilike ang aming Facebook pages at DZUP Specials at DZUP 1602 AM. Maririn kayong magpadala ng sulatroniko sa dzup.marketing@gmail.com. I-textin nyo kami sa 0927-220-8332 o di kaya itawagin sa 503-8288. Ang DZUP ay kasapi ng KBP, kapisanan ng mga broadcaster ng Pilipinas. Sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka!
Halika na makinig sa DZUP 1602.
Yakan, Tausug, Bajaw, Ilanon, Jama Mapun, Calagan. Kilala mo ba sila?
Sila? Oo naman. Sila lang naman ang ilan sa mga kilalang Muslim tribes sa Pilipinas.
Ah, yun pala. Galing. Ngayon, alam ko na.
Tara, Magsalam Radyo na. Abangan at alamin ang makulay na kultura at musika, isyu at advokasya ng Islam. Hatid sa inyo ng UP Institute of Islamic Studies.
Ito ang natatanging programa para sa Muslim, Islam at iba pa.
Salam Radyo! Tuwing Martes, alauna hanggang alas 2 ng tanghali.
Dito sa DZUP 1602.
Kasali ka!
Wow, girl! Ang galing mo mag-edit!
Thanks, ha! Pinaghirapan ko to.
Girl, favor naman. Pwede ka ba mag-edit? Para sa akin?
Sure. I usually charge for...
No. As a favor.
Favor?
Okay lang, diba?
Always pay your artists. Art is their living.
Sorry, friend. I understand. Anong going rate mo?
Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka.
Girl, nasan ka na? Kompleto na kami dito.
Ano?
Hindi ka ba manamin? Sabi mo sasama ka. Hello? Hello?
Kapag ang tulog ay kulang-kulang, ikaw ang mawawalan. Ugaliing matulog ng sapat upang magising sa tamang oras. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka!
DZUP Special Features.
Nagbabalik po ang DZUP Special Features. Ipagpatuloy natin ang pakikinig sa State of the Philippine Environment Forum 2019 na inorganisa ng Center for Environmental Concerns kasama ang Ateneo Environmental Science Society, Kalikasan People's Network for the Environment, at ng Ateneo Development Studies Program.
Katulad na nabanggit kanina, dapat i-recognize natin yung situation dito sa areas na tatayuan nila ng dams. Maraming communities dito, maraming tao na nagde-depend ng livelihood sa upland areas. And if we build mega dams, ang mga impacts na pwede mangyari is the inundation of forests. Na malaking area, pag tinayo yung reservoir, malulubog yung mga areas na yun, pwedeng malubog din yung areas na tinitirhan ng mga communities. Pagdating naman sa downstream, ang magiging epekto naman dun ay pagkonti ng water supply. At labas pa dito, malaki impacts niya sa mga freshwater organisms, lalo na yung migratory fish. Kasi maraming may eels na merong klase na migration where they hatch in freshwater, in saltwater, and then they migrate to upstream in the freshwater, tapos babalik rin sila downstream, tapos doon ulit sila mag-reproduce. So if you cut the water system, makakot mo din yung life cycle ng migratory fish. Actually, in Kaliwadam, they said in their feasibility study that there is a possibility that certain fish organisms can be extinct if the dam construction pushes through. So yung alam natin siguro yung salmon yan, isa rin siya sa mga migratory fish. So down to marine ecosystems, in a study conducted in 2015 to 2017, they saw that the live coral categories, most of them are 90% are poor and fair, and none are in excellent condition. So these are caused by many factors, but mostly by marine pollution. So this comes to mind the word rehabilitation. So katulad nga na nabanggit kanina, dito papasok sa atin yung rehabilitation halimbawa dun sa Boracay. At sa this year naman, ang rehabilitation ay sa Manila Bay. So most of the time in the news, we hear that it is caused by open defecation in Manila Bay. Because of the high coliform content, nagiging polluted na yung water. Pero what were the information that we didn't often see in the news? 74% of the plastics that ended up in Manila Bay were previously collected already. 68% of the barangays do not have access to materials recovery facilities. 76 of the LGUs do not have access to sanitary landfills. And 86% of MWSS service population were not connected to the sewage system. This means that the mechanisms that were supposedly set in place to ensure that the garbage was collected properly or the sewage system works and doesn't end up in Manila Bay were not in place. Kasi 95 LGUs around Manila Bay were non-compliant with environmental laws. So, kadalasan, ang sinisisi dito ay yung mga nakatira sa estero. Pero sino ba dapat yung nagpapatupad ng mga batas para ensure na yung paglilinis natin o pagtatabi ng mga basura natin, properly disposed sila dapat. So sa ngayon, makita natin na hindi lang sa simpleng problema nung nakatira sila doon, pero matagal na siyang problema na nangyayari. At ito ay problema ng implementation ng ating policies. If we look at the budget allocated for the Manila Bay Rehabilitation, majority of it is allocated for relocation. At yung blue part, yun lang yung budget allocated for the cleanup. So ang tanong natin, bakit ganito yung Manila Bay Rehabilitation daw, pero parang Manila Bay Relocation lang naman siya? Kasi nga, ang nakikita nilang problem ay yung mga informal settlers lang along Manila Bay and the Esteros. Pero aside from the fact that they are saying na we need to rehabilitate Manila Bay, meron namang reclamation projects. So reclamation involves the filling and dumping of materials in water bodies to extend the land area. In the first quarter, it was announced that 22 projects were approved, 20,000 hectares of it covered Manila Bay. So hindi pa to kompleto kasi meron pa mga projects dyan na hindi naka-determine. So kung makita natin, yung Manila Bay kasi hindi lang siya what we see in Rojas Boulevard. Manila Bay covers areas from Bataan, Bulacan, tapos ito na yung cities, tapos Cavite. Sa mga cities, Manila, Pasay, Paranaque, Navotas, Las Piñas. Yan. So ganun kalawak yung coverage ng Manila Bay. At yung DENR mismo nagsabi na isa siyang key biodiversity area.
Napahinggan natin ang State of the Philippine Environment Forum 2019 na inorganisa ng Center for Environmental Concerns kasama ang Ateneo Environmental Science Society, Kalikasan People's Network for the Environment, at ng Ateneo Development Studies Program. Huwag ninyong kalilimutang ilike ang aming Facebook pages at DZUP Specials at DZUP 1602 AM. Maririn kayo magpadala ng sulatroniko sa dzup.marketing@gmail.com. Tumungo lamang sa dzup.org/programs para sa mga lumipas sa naming episodes. Abangan ninyo ang pinakahuling balita sa DZUP Balita mamayang alas 11 ng umaga. Maririn ninyong sundan ang Facebook, Twitter at Instagram accounts ng DZUP Balita na @DZUP Balita. Para sa iba pang mga balita, tumungo lamang sa dzup.org/news. Sa ngalan ng aming station manager na si Professor Jane Vinculado at ng DZUP Admin, DZUP News kasama sina Shane David, Joanna Reyes, Neil Manuel at Terence Solentino, DZUP Online, DZUP Prod, DZUP Special Services kasama si Christelle Vergara at DZUP Tech. Ako po si Gian Lebrojo. Maraming salamat at magandang umaga mga kasali. Ang DZUP ay kasapin ng KBP, kapisanan ng mga broadcaster ng Pilipinas. Sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka.